Well, good morning, church. You guys smell that? That new baby smell? Little Jackson's here today. I seen him walk in. Figured I'd mention that. It's good to have Rachel and Jackson here today. But we're going to talk about suffering today. We've been talking about suffering a lot. In 1 Peter, you know, and it's no coincidence that when I signed up to preach, this is exactly what I was going to preach on. And it's funny that we've been talking about suffering, and Daryl's done such a good job explaining it. And I actually took some of his stuff. He took the copyright off, and he's allowing me to use it. But who in here has ever suffered? Raise your hand. Who in here has suffered? This is a source of suffering, direct result of a fallen world. So there's, Daryl's pointed out in his class, and I've preached this sermon about 4 times, different prisons. And when I first preached it, I got it from Daryl that there was only 2 forms of suffering. And then he comes with, now there's 3 forms of suffering. But it makes sense. So, common to all, right? We're going to suffer through death, sickness, natural disaster, wrong treatment. I can't control if I suffer. No change in character affects this. The suffering does not glorify God. So this common suffering is, you'll endure this suffering if you're not a Christian, right? So it's a common suffering. We're not suffering for Christ. So that's the first part of suffering. Judged by how we handle the suffering, Christians are expected to handle this suffering differently. But how they handle it doesn't change the suffering. So regardless, Christian or non-Christian, we're all going to suffer this common suffering. The Bible is less concerned with this kind of suffering than you think. LJ would disagree with that. But he has to suffer through this, and then I have to suffer later on. So that's the first kind of suffering. Second, suffering direct result of doing wrong, caused by my evil behavior, stealing, prison, lie, get fired. I can control if I suffer. More wrong equals more suffering. Links evildoers and no glory. So we can all say what? We've suffered like this because when we sin against God, that's the kind of suffering it's talking about, right? Wrongdoing. So that's the second part of suffering. Now, suffering, direct result of falling God, suffering as a Christian. And Daryl's done such a good job, I'm just going to kind of feed off of a lot of what he said. And like he said today, he's preached about 4 sermons on this. So I'm going to add just a little bit to what he's preached on over the last few weeks. So, caused by my honoring God honoring behavior changed from my former lifestyle. I control if I suffer more. I follow God equals more suffering. Judged by if I will suffer, that's a good one, right? Only kind of suffering that is identified with Christ's suffering. links the body of Christ, Christians, only kind of suffering that is said to bring glory to God, addressed in 1 Peter, the Bible is almost exclusively concerned with this kind of suffering. So, suffering as a Christian is our main goal today of seeing what it is and how we suffer as Christians. So, when you suffer as a Christian, you think differently, right? If you're not thinking different from the world, you're not suffering as a Christian. You're willing to suffer now, and I thought this was a good point that Daryl made this morning, and I wrote it down, of course. Suffering now for Christ, so that, because what's Daryl been talking about, we're focusing on the eternal perspective, right? So we have to suffer today with that eternal perspective of, I'm not going to have to suffer later in hell, right? So we will be, and it tells us in the Bible and in many places that no tears, no more suffering. It specifically says no more suffering. But if we don't suffer and today, we're going to suffer eternal in hell. So very important. So is suffering being married to Daryl for, is that suffering for Christ? No? I don't know. Now, if for Samantha, suffering for being married to me, is that suffering for Christ? I think it is a little bit, because we're trying to help each other get to heaven. And she suffers through the stuff that she has to deal with me. But that's a good open discussion we should have one day. So now, I wanted to open up with the thought of suffering. Because what is suffering really? It's trials of life, right? The trials we go through, we're suffering through, I think Aaron did a great job on the Lord's Supper and how Peter was willing to suffer through whatever he had to go through. But then in the end, he did suffer for Christ. But there was a point where he didn't want to suffer. He denied Christ. So, but that was the trials that he went through, and the trials that we go through, that's the suffering we're going to have to deal with for Christ. We're still going to have to suffer commonly. We're still going to have to suffer if we do wrong, but we want to focus on suffering for Christ. Turn over to Genesis 39, and we're going to talk about two Old Testament heroes who suffered a lot in their life, and I think we can get some good examples out of these two and how we can better suffer and better. Genesis 39. So, most everybody knows the story of Joseph, right? He's the 12th son, right? He had brothers who was very jealous of him because his dad loved him more and gave him this colorful coat, and they plot to kill him. And not for reason of anything that Joseph had done, but I want to just give a little bit of a story, and then starting in verse 1, Genesis chapter 39, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites, who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all he did to prosper in his hand. Notice that even Potiphar sees that the Lord is with Joseph. Why do you think that is? I think it's because he was suffering for Christ, right? He was being submissive to Potiphar. He was doing everything he needed to do. And he was humble. He was taking care of everything, whatever he was being asked of him. And I think it's a good lesson for us to see Joseph didn't do anything wrong, right? Joseph had not done anything wrong. And now he's put in this position and he's suffering for Christ. Do you think Joseph's happy with his current situation? Do you think... I don't read anywhere about Joseph being disobedient. So, through our suffering, we should be happy, right? We should obey God. We shouldn't be disobedient. And in our current situation, when we are suffering for Christ, just like Potiphar, everyone around us should say, wow, there's something different in him. There's something different in Daryl. Look, God is with him. We can have people can say the same thing about us. And let me ask you, do people see that when you're going through your trials, when you're suffering? Think about that. What do people see when they look at you in the trials that you're going through? Do they see a Joseph? Do they see Christ? So it goes on, right? So Joseph, turn over to verses 19 through 23. Now, when his master heard the words of his wife, which were spoken to him, saying, "This is what your slave did to me," his anger burned. So Joseph's master took him and put him into jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in jail, but the Lord was with Joseph, and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. And the chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail, so that whatever was done there, he was responsible for it. This is crazy to me, because the jailer sees that Joseph, obviously he's seeing that God is with him. Joseph is once again being submissive. He hasn't done anything to deserve this, and now he's in jail because Potiphar's wife wanted to sleep with him, and he glorified God, and he didn't. He suffered for Christ. Now he's put in this position. But it's crazy to me too is think about all the different prisoners too. They kind of all they see this too. They have it doesn't say it, but you think about putting somebody over all the prisoners. If you don't respect this person, you don't see that God's with this person, then you're gonna do things to disobey, right? It doesn't say that here, but I think it's a good point that even the prisoners probably seen that God was with Joseph. And then, so Pharaoh has this dream, right? And Joseph, he can interpret dreams. He interpreted a dream. He had a dream that he tried to interpret to his brothers and his father, and they thought he was crazy and hated him even more. Not his father, but his brothers. But he interpreted some dreams for the men that worked in Pharaoh's house. And so this man, I think he's the cupbearer or the chef or something. I'm sorry. Anyways, he says, "Hey, I know this guy who can interpret a dream, interpret your dreams." And so Pharaoh brings him out of jail and puts him over everybody. He's right below Pharaoh. Of course, this is all God's providence in the whole thing. But also, do you actually think that Pharaoh would put him in charge of everything if Joseph wasn't being submissive, he wasn't glorifying God, he wasn't suffering for God? And then turn over to chapter 41, verses 50 through 52. So, when I asked, do you think Joseph was happy in his current situation? We don't see Joseph grumble. We don't see him disobey. We don't see him do anything. All he's doing is serving God and suffering for Christ. But we can see just a little glimpse that he did struggle with it. 41 and verse 50. "Now, therefore, the year of famine came. Two sons were born to Joseph, whom Asenath, the daughter of I'm bad on names, who bore him. Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, 'God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household.' He named the second Ephraim, for he said, 'God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction.'" Joseph went through affliction. Joseph struggled, I'm sure day by day, but he kept it in the forefront of his mind that I'm going to do whatever I need to do to serve God each and every day. I forgot to change that earlier. So that's one Old Testament hero. He suffered through a lot, but he glorified God through all of it. Now turn over to Job 23. starting in verse 1. Then Job replied, "Even today my complaint is rebellion. His hand is heavy despite my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come to his seat. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would learn the words which he would answer and perceive what he would say to me. Would he contend with me by the greatness of his power? No. Surely he would pay attention to me. There the upright would reason with him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backwards, but I cannot perceive him. When he acts on the left, I cannot behold him. He turns on the right, I cannot see him. But he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Job was at this time named as the most righteous man on earth. When the scene where the devil comes and talks to God, and God says, Have you tried my faithful servant Job? He's the most faithful and righteous man on earth right now." And the devil says, "Well, take your hedge of protection off of him." God says, "Okay, you just can't kill him." He takes everything, right? Job loses his family. Job loses all he has, herds and flocks and land, everything. He's struck with the boils, where he's physically struggling, mentally struggling. We can relate to that, right? We can relate. We've lost things. We've struggled with pain in our bodies. He's dealing with the common. I don't think he was quite dealing with the second one, but when you start reading in Job 23, you're like, why did the most righteous man on earth have to go through this? He had something to work on too. Can you see in these first nine verses, Job started to argue with God. Job raises himself above God and says, he won't contend with me. He'll listen to me. He's going to pay attention to me. He's going to hear what I have to say. The upright would reason with him, and I would be delivered forever from my judge. I would learn the words which he would answer me. I would present my case before him and fill my mouth with arguments. There was some dross, right? That's the whole thing of removing dross in our life. Job, and just like he says in verse 10, "But he knows the way I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold." So we're all in this refining period, this refining process. And you can only get refined through this process by suffering for Christ. The first one, we can't get refined. We're not being refined by God through suffering, through the first suffering, the common. We're not, I mean, we're getting refined a little bit when we do wrong, but really, we're getting refined by the third one,
by suffering for Christ. So we're, God is constantly boiling this gold, this vessel, and this dross continues to boil to the top, and then you scrape it away. But if you you step out of that trial, was any dross scraped away? And how would you be able to step out of a trial? So you're suffering for Christ, you're suffering, and then you step out of it. What do you think happens? Sin against God, right? We can step out of a trial anytime. If we're suffering for Christ, we can step out of a trial anytime by sinning. But then there might have been a little bit of dross taken away because you've endured a little bit of that trial. But God wants us to become the purest gold that we can become. 24 karat. That's 99.9% the purest you can get in gold.
Turn over to Job 40, chapter 40. God answers Job. And starting in verse 1, then the Lord said to Job, will the fault finder contend with the Almighty? Let him who reproves God answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am insignificant. What can I reply to you? I lay my hand on my mouth. Once I have spoken, and I will not answer. Even twice, and I will add nothing more. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm and said, now gird up your loins like a man. I will instruct you, and you instruct me. Will you really annul my judgment? So now, Job has humbled himself. Job has a lot of dross taken through this, right? He's been tried and he has suffered in ways we suffer just like Job. And I think these are two awesome examples who suffered for Christ, Old Testament heroes who suffered through a lot. And I think they came through more pure as gold. Turn over to Romans 5. Romans 5, starting in verse 3. Well, let's just start verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have attained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that our tribulations brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. So trials in tribulations. So we're suffering, and it brings about a little bit of perseverance. We're persevering through, we're doing it despite of how the world looks at it. We're doing it despite of what anybody says, and we're doing it for Christ, right? We're persevering. And then look what the perseverance brings about. A proven character. Integrity. We're enduring these things, and now we're bringing about a proven character. Just like Job 23:10, I am tried, and then he knows my way, and I am tried so I can become gold. And then hope. We all want that. We all have that hope of someday going to heaven. I think I was thinking about it. All these things, suffering, perseverance, and then proven character. And then you hope. Some hope, I hope I'll make it to heaven. No, this is the hope of, I know I'm going to heaven. I know I'm doing this because I'm suffering for Christ every single day. And I know that I have that hope as long as I follow exactly what Christ is telling me to follow, that God is telling me to follow. And I know I have that hope if I suffer for Christ. And it's great that we can suffer together, right? We were talking about that earlier. We suffer together in Christ as a congregation. Daryl, keep suffering, brother. Robert, keep suffering. Bert, keep suffering for Christ. Keep suffering. All of us, let's continue to suffer so we know that we have that hope for heaven. Let God shape and mold you. And let's become... I didn't do my last slide. God's refining work. That's the whole... Suffering to become gold. We have to go through these fiery trials so that we can be more pure and become gold for God. If you're here and you're not a Christian, Christ suffered for you. Christ suffered just like it was talked about in the Lord's Supper. Christ suffered so that we can have that eternal hope of going to heaven someday. And if you're struggling through something, you're already a Christian, and you haven't been suffering for Christ, let it be known to the congregation so that we can pray for you and we can help you suffer through it. Put that burden on us so we can all suffer together in Christ. As we stand and sing, if you have a need.
Will your anchor hold?